Welcome to Peace by Believing with John Redmond, Associate Pastor of First Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas. Today, John shows us in God's Word how to spend a day.
Let's begin by looking at Psalm 118, verses 24. This is the first verse I ever memorized when I was a little fella. Very first verse, and it's a tremendous verse. Psalm 118 and verse 24. The psalmist said this, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Let's say that together. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so this is the day. We're in it. And it's the only day we have. The others are gone, and the other ones haven't come yet. Someone has said this, nobody can go back and start a new beginning. But anyone can start today and make a new ending. So sometimes in life we think, man, if I could just go back to the third grade and just rewind it back and live my whole life over again, there's some things I would do different. Well, you know, you can't go back to the third grade. It doesn't work that way. Nobody can go back to the beginning like that and make a fresh start. But anyone can start today. And by changing how we live today, we can have a new and a better ending. So this is the day. Now turn back a few more pages to Psalm 113. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And in this one verse, it tells us how to spend a day. From the time you wake up until the time you go to bed, this is what you do. Notice the verse, Psalm 113:3. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. There's an old song. From the rising of the sun, you know that? To the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. Well, it's a beautiful song. Now, that word praised in our English Bible, that English word praised, comes from the Hebrew word hallel, H-A-L-A-L, from which we get our word hallelujah. And it does mean to praise God. But that word also could be translated shine. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to shine. In other words, that you and I should live our lives in such a way that we put a shine on God's name, that we make God's name look good, that other people who know us, who may not know the Lord, would say, you know what? I don't know this God they serve. I don't know this God they pray to. I don't know this God they worship. But I'll tell you one thing, the way that person lives their life, I want to know their God. You put a shine on God's name. And so if we'll live our lives in the right way, then we can do that. Now, the question is, how do we spend a day? And so I'm going to mention three things today. This is not deep. This is not complicated. And yet it is profound. Three things that you can do that will change your day every day and thus change your life. The first thing I would encourage you to do is to begin your day with Jesus. Begin your day with Jesus. In other words, when you wake up, the first thought that should be on your mind is not, okay, today I've got to do this, that, or the other, or today all this is happening, or I'm worried about. The first thing you should think when your eyes wake up, now I know some of you, when you wake up, you just wake up and you're just singing and jumping out of bed, and the others of us, we wake up and say, oh man, it's morning already. What happened tonight? Where did the night go? So some wake up in a hurry and some are like me. It takes a few minutes to kind of become conscious. But however it is, when you first are aware that it's a new day, the first thing you should think is Jesus. In my bedroom, I have a picture of Jesus. To my left, by my door coming into the bedroom, and when I wake up, first thing my eyes see is that picture of Jesus. And I'll normally say something. I did this morning. I normally would just say something. Good morning, Lord. Thank you that I slept last night. Thank you for this day. I'm just kind of starting slow. But what I'm trying to do at the beginning of a day is I'm trying to make a connection with Jesus. Now, for me, before I ever get out of bed, I like to spend just a few minutes as I'm coming to and getting started and kind of stretching. I like to take just a few minutes and say, now, God, before I get out of bed, before I start doing what, if I'm going to exercise or clean up or go to work or whatever I'm doing, God, today, I want to just thank you for some of the greatest blessings that you've given me. God, I did this morning. God, I thank you that I'm saved. God, I thank you that I know that I'm saved. I've said it many times from this pulpit before. The only thing better than being saved is to be saved and know that you're saved. I'm thankful I know when I die I'm going to heaven and not hell. That's a big deal to me. And so I just thank God for that every day. God, I thank you that I'm saved. I thank you I know that I'm saved. God, I thank you that I'm healthy and strong and you've healed me of things I've been through in my life. I thank you for that. God, I thank you for my family. God, I thank you for First Baptist Church, Pasadena. I say that 7 days a week. God, I thank you for First Baptist Church in Pasadena. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my car. Thank you for my clothes. Thank you for my food that I can eat. Thank you for the material blessings that you've given me. Doesn't take long to say these things. God, I thank you for my eyes that I can see. That's a vision is a big deal to me. Thank you for my ears that I can hear. Thank you, God, that I have legs. I can walk. Thank you, God, for my lungs that I can breathe. Thank you, God, my heart. My heart, just every second I get a new heartbeat. And it's been doing that all my life. God, I just want to thank you that I have that. I just want to thank you, Lord. There's something, at least for me, I'm not saying you should do exactly what I do, but there's something for me about starting my day just thanking God for these blessings that gets my mind going in the right direction. And then back in the late 1990s, very early 2000, I started praying a prayer that I read called the PACE prayer, P-A-C-E. It's an acrostic. And the idea behind this prayer is most of us, our days are busier than they should be. I believe that. We're probably doing things that God doesn't even expect us to do. But in some days, we're doing what God expects us to do, and it's just a lot. And so I just say, God, as I go through this day, I just pray that I want to pace myself so that even if I'm physically busy, going in a hurry from here, there, and everywhere, that in my spirit, I'm calm, I'm composed, I'm cool, I'm in the moment, I'm not rushed. My mind's not going as fast as my body's going. I can remember back in the 1980s, I've always been a big sports fan. And in the 80s, when I was in high school, my favorite player was Larry Bird, Boston Celtics, 3-time world champion. And some of you guys that go back that far, you remember when the Celtics were in those championships, the special thing about Larry Bird, when the game is on the line, it's in the fourth quarter, they're in the Boston Garden, or back then, back in the Los Angeles Forum playing the Lakers, and everybody's nervous, it's so loud, and everything's happening so fast, old Larry Bird could just get that ball, step back behind the three-point line, put that ball in, swish. They used to say he has like ice in his veins. He never gets nervous. He never seems rattled. And they interviewed him about that. And they said, Larry, how is this possible? How is it that when the game is going on and there's so much noise and tension and pressure and people are nervous and a lot of players are just missing shots badly, how is it that you can stay so calm? And Larry Bird said this. He said, I can't explain it, but here's what happens. He said, when I'm in a moment like that and everything is going crazy, somehow I am able to see the game in slow motion. And he said, seeing the game in slow motion enables me to step back behind that line. It's like I'm in my driveway when I was a kid playing ball. And he said, the game is very slow in my mind. And I remember thinking then, God, I want life to be that way for me. Even if life, and it is, hectic and busy and at a pace, but in my mind, slow, calm, nothing like. So I say, God, I want to pace myself. I'm not going to belabor this prayer, but I will give you what those letters stand for. The P stands for praise. God, I praise you for who you are. I prayed this morning. God, I praise you for who you are. You're my Savior. You're my healer. You're my constant companion. You're my roommate. You're my friend. You're the perfecter of my circumstances. God, I praise you for who you are. God, as I go through this day, A, I want to abide in you in unbroken fellowship. I said that this morning. I said, God, when I'm up there this morning preaching, I want to abide in you. I want to be so connected to you that if you lead me in a different direction, I just go with the Spirit. If you tell me to leave something out or put something in, it's just easy. I just can abide. God, today, don't let sin, circumstances, or somebody else come between me and you. Help me to abide in you today in unbroken fellowship and unbroken oneness. See, God, I commit this day to you. I do that every morning. God, I just walk through the day with God. God, today, like, for example, today, God, I commit my time at home this morning before I go to church. Commit the service. the worship, the preaching, all of it. God, I commit lunch to you. I commit the afternoon, what I'll do this evening, what I'll do tonight. I just commit it to you. I just put it all in God's hands right up at the beginning. And then the E stands for expect. God, I expect it to be a good day. And so for me, I'm not suggesting you pray that prayer every day. You may have another way you do it. I'm saying that's what it takes for me to connect to God before I ever get out of bed in the morning. So that's how we want to do. We want to begin the day with Jesus. I would encourage you. I don't begin the day with my cell phone. I don't begin the day checking who all texts me during the night. Because if I did, or who called and now I'm calling them back. I'm glad they called and I'm glad they texted and I will get back. But if I begin my day with my cell phone, you know what happened? My cell phone just set the pace of my day. But if I begin the day with Jesus, it's not a long time, but it's some time. If I begin the day with Jesus, He sets the pace and He gets my mind going in the right way. So we want to just begin the day with Jesus. Now, before we go on to the next point, let me ask you. You've been awake 5 or 6 hours by now, more than likely. When you woke up this morning, what was the first thing that came on into your mind? What was the first thing? Well, I mean, I think if it would be Jesus, we would have better days. The second thing we do, not only to begin the day with Jesus, but walk with Jesus throughout the day. What is a day? A day is an opportunity to walk with Jesus. You know, when we think about, here's what I'm going to do today. Like I say yesterday. Okay, yesterday I preached a funeral here at First Baptist, a beautiful funeral service. I worked on a sermon. I did what I did. I ate. I washed dishes. I did this, that, the other. We all did things yesterday. But the most important thing is not so much what we do. It's not unimportant. It is important what we do. The most important thing, though, is where is our mind? Where is our heart when we're doing whatever we're doing? And so what we want to do is we go through the day, we want to just walk with Jesus throughout that day. Now, last night when I was finishing this sermon, I got to this part here about walk with Jesus throughout the day. I'm sitting in my study, and it's getting late, and I'm thinking, now, God, what does this mean? I'm going to tell us all we need to walk with Jesus, and we do. But how do we do that? The challenge to me of the Christian life is that we're talking to a God we can't see. I mean, we're trusting a God that we've never seen to take us to a place a long way from here, heaven, that we've never been. So this faith, I mean, this relationship we have with Jesus is the only relationship we have with anybody. We can't see them. We can't touch Him. We can't hear Him with our ears. It's the nature of the relationship is altogether different, and that's what throws us sometimes. So how can we walk with Jesus? Let me give you a scripture verse to write down. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, Enoch walked with God. Let me give you another scripture. Chapter 6 of Genesis in verse 9, it says Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Did you know that's the highest compliment that could be paid of you? When your life is over, if God could say of you, she walked with me, he walked with me. It doesn't get any better than that. And so what we want to do is walk with Jesus throughout the day. But the question is, what does that mean? How can we walk with a God we can't see? How do we walk with Jesus when we can't see Him, hear Him, or touch Him? So I've jotted down some things here. The first thing we need is an awareness of God's presence. An awareness of God's presence. Sometimes you'll hear somebody pray and they say, God, I just pray for your presence. Well, God understands that, what they mean. But friend, you don't need to pray for God's presence. You have God's presence. If you're saved, He has promised to never leave you. What we need is an awareness of God's presence in our lives. I remember when I was a child, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. This continued through much of my teenage years. Somehow this whole thing got in my mind about God is always with me. Jesus is always there. And I would do little things. I never said anything about it, but I would do little things that would try to help me remember that Jesus is there. And I can remember when our family would go on a vacation, or maybe we might just go out to eat one night, like if we were in a McDonald's. You know, and those of you who have kids, you know that if you go on a deal like that, normally everybody in the family has a little job. Somebody's going to wipe the table down, somebody's going to order the meal, and somebody's going to choose the table. Well, my job, when we would go out to eat as a family, was to get the napkins and the straws. They trusted me with something very important, napkins and straws. And there were only 4 of us in our family. But somehow I had this in my mind, Jesus is with us. And so for years, what I would do at McDonald's, I would get not 4 but 5 napkins, and not four, but five straws. I don't think my family ever noticed that. We never did discuss that. I never said anything about it. I'm sure McDonald's didn't like it. I was wasting a napkin and a straw in their mind. But it was, as a young person, it was something I could do tangibly and visibly to remind me that a meal of four people was actually a meal of five people. Now, I don't do that anymore, but I'm always doing something like that in my mind to try to remind myself we just need an awareness of the presence of Jesus Christ. Another thing that, talking about walking with Jesus, what is it, how do we walk with Jesus? You realize this, that a day, here's what a day should be. A day should be an unending conversation with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Now, that doesn't mean all day long I'm praying in words to God. God, help me, bless me, help her, help that, fix this. No, like right now, I'm not talking to Jesus. I'm talking to you. But while I'm talking to you, in my spirit, I'm in unbroken fellowship with Jesus. I don't have anything, as far as I know, right now. Now, sometimes I do. But I think I'm confessed up. Like, I don't think I have anything in my heart right now between me and Him. And so what is a day? It's just an unending conversation with Jesus. For these students, in class, at lunch, on the ball field, in the band room. I mean, your whole day, Jesus is with you. You just talk to Him. It is an unending conversation with Jesus. It's a day is not so much what we hope to accomplish before it's over with. While we do certainly have things to accomplish, a day is an unending conversation with Jesus Christ. And then I'll tell you something else, how to walk with Jesus. Have a tenacious faith in Him. Just to make your mind up, God, whatever happens, I choose to trust You. And then I'll tell you something else we need, an unconditional love for other people. You know, this in life, I mean, life's all about relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. And in these relationships, sometimes we hurt each other's feelings. Sometimes somebody offends us. Sometimes we do get a little bit upset or bitter. R.T. Kendall said this, unless we are walking in a state of forgiveness towards others, we cannot be in an intimate relationship with God. I'm going to tell you something. If you have a bitter attitude, or if I have a bitter attitude towards another person, the best thing you could do would be to get down on your knees, confess that to God, and forgive that person and release that and let that go so it doesn't take root and doesn't have a negative effect on your life. I read a few weeks ago in the Proverbs a verse that I've never understood. It says this. We won't take time to look it up, but in Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22, it says, if your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's what we ought to do. But the next verse says this, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I've always thought that meant if somebody's rude to you, you be kind to them, and by being kind to them, then you'll make them miserable, and that will be your reward. Just knowing you really stuck it to them, that'll be good. But I never have thought that made sense, because that doesn't seem like the way God would want us to be. Like, be nice to her and you'll ruin her day. Hallelujah. And you're going to be mean. You be nice and so you'll ruin her day or ruin his day. I studied that verse the other day, and that's not what it means, by the way. And this would be true today, but in Bible times it was especially true when welders or others were working with pieces of metal, hard metals that wouldn't bend or you couldn't, you know, use them very easily. They would take coals of fire, and they would heap those coals of fire on top of that metal, and they'd let it sit there for a while. And what would happen is those coals of fire would melt the hard metals, and then you could use those metals, you could bend it, you could make something out of it. Now, when God says, if your enemy's hungry, feed him, thirsty, you know, give him something to drink, and in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on their head. What's it saying? If you'll be kind to somebody who's been unkind to you, your kindness will melt their heart and hopefully rebuild that relationship. Now, that second part doesn't always happen. That's dependent on them, not just dependent on you. But if you'll be kind, it can nonetheless melt their heart. I can remember many years ago, Dodie Osteen was telling me a story how in the 1950s, she and her husband John Osteen were at Central Baptist Church in Baytown. He was pastor there. And she said, John, there was a lady in that church that didn't like me. She wouldn't speak to me in the hall. She wouldn't look at me. She just didn't like me. I didn't know what I'd done to make her mad. But I wanted to make a friend out of this lady, and it just bothered. I prayed about it and tried, and nothing seemed to be working. And she said, one day I decided that I was going to bake her a cake. And she said, so I baked her a cake. I let it cool. I put it in a container. I drove that cake to her house. I rang the doorbell. She answered the door. And I said to her, listen, I've been thinking about you, and I just wanted to give you a cake. And she said, John, from that day on, I had a friend for life in that lady. What did she do? She just heaped coals of fire. You know, it may be today you need to make somebody a cake. And take, now don't make me one. I'll think you've been mad at me, and I did something. If I get 25 cakes this week, I'm going to really be self-conscious. But I think what she's saying is what the Bible, heap coals of fire, by being kind. And so walking with Jesus, an awareness, he's with me. What is this day? It's an unending conversation with Jesus. Friend, listen, if we get so busy in a day that we lose sight of the fact that God is with us, we've gotten too busy and something needs to change. Because the most important thing is him being there with us. And then a tenacious faith in him and unconditional love. And then end the day with Jesus. You just end it. You start the day with him. You walk with him all day long. Whatever happens, you talk to him about it. And then at the end of the day, I've been reading a psalm. My favorite thing to do is, before I go to bed at night, to read a psalm. I don't always do that, but I'm doing that now. I read Psalm 8 last night before I went to bed. And in that psalm, I read a verse that says, who is man that you are mindful of him? And that was the verse I went to bed with last night. I thought, God, you're mindful of me. You're thinking about me. And that is such a blessing. So, how to spend a day. What I've told you today could change all of our lives if we would do it, if we would begin that day with Jesus, walk with him throughout the day, and end that day with him. Everything about our life would change. Yesterday afternoon, I had a little lunch, sat out in the chair, turned the TV on, watched a little bit of the Colorado game. The game got over, I turned the TV off, and I said, well, God, I've got to begin thinking about this sermon tomorrow. I mean, it's largely finished, but I need to work on it. I hadn't even read my Bible or prayed yet, really, for the day. I said, God, I'm going to get a pen, a piece of paper. I'm in the mood to write a poem on how to spend a day. And if you'll make it flow, I'll write it. And if not, I'll just, nobody will ever know I tried. So I started writing. Here's what I wrote. This is the day the Lord has made. The Bible is clear about that. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So my spirit won't be down and flat. This day will bring some challenges and some obstacles I must face, but I won't face them by myself. I'm surrounded by God's grace. I'll begin this day by thanking God for the blessings he has given. As I focus on his goodness to me, my fears from me will be driven. As I journey on this road of life, I'll have to learn to trust. There's some things that just don't make sense, and therefore faith will be a must. And some people I rub shoulders with may rub me the wrong way. Help me, Lord, not to hold a grudge, but God's love to them convey. And should this day be the final day I spend on planet Earth, help me, Lord, to live it well as one who's experienced a spiritual birth. I know my time upon this earth is passing now away, but I look forward to a better land where the skies are never gray. At the appointed time, on the appointed day, I'll see you face to face. But until then, please walk with me and help me to be a good reflection of your grace. Amen. If we'll begin the day with Jesus, just make contact. Just say something to him. Walk with him throughout the day. Whatever happens, just keep talking to him. And then at night, before you turn the lights out and lock all the doors, get your Bible, read a psalm, do something. Bow your head and pray, and you end that day with Jesus. And everything about our lives can be changed. Amen.
Do you desire the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart to help you live your days wisely? If you do, please contact us by going to our website, peacebybelieving.com. www.pcbbelieving.org and click on the Find Peace tab. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you being with us on the next Peace by Believing with John Redmond.